prompting, whether we got it all figured out or not. Yeah. That sounds like him. Amen. He's our shepherd. And the first lady shared this morning in the huddle, and it was a beautiful picture. Great picture. I'm going to have her share it, well, as the Lord leads. I'm not going to tell you what to do. As the Lord leads, I'm going to have you share it in a pregame so everybody can hear that, because it's very precious, very, very touching, very point on. Didn't that sound like the Lord? Yeah. Amen. Is it all right for me to kick off? I know normally I'm right on the time. You want me to wait a little bit? I love you so much. Thank you for being family so we can communicate. You know, it's my first time. You know. Okay. I think about 46 years of it is my first time. I love y'all so much. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of Freedom Life. And we're pursuing the Lord. And I just want you to know that there's a lot more that happens in the ministry that you're a part of than even what we see on Sunday morning. There's a lot of things that happens behind the scenes that's just Jesus. And we love to brag on Jesus. A lot of the things that we deal with are pretty confidential, and so we're very confidential. And so we celebrate the Lord, we celebrate what the Lord's doing, but I'm just letting you know, the Lord's touched some precious lives this week. We've seen some amazing miracles, and the Lord is the one that restores, the Lord's the one that renews, the Lord is the one that sets people free. And you know what's neat about, we have an amazing leadership team, but we all are very aware that it's Jesus. And the supernatural is Jesus, it's not the natural. And so this is a part of our last sermon in this series on how to win in the end. And all you folk that are laughing, is that a lack of faith? Are you just being full of cheer?
We are full of cheer.
Full of cheer, amen. Because Jesus, that's big with him. And we're going to see that today, too. That's part of being in faith, is being full of cheer. All right? Being confident. Having courage. It all goes together. Amen. All right. So this is how to win in the end. Part four. How'd I do, baby? All right. She loves for me to do that. That gets a smile out of my beautiful first lady. And I'm going to kick off with this. Sometimes we run across church experts that are really not church experts, but they think they are. And it's quite amazing, because there are people that will approach spiritual life with a world mind. And I want to tell you, there's just no connection there. It's just two completely different kingdoms. But there are actually people, and we run across them sometimes, that will have a view, a flesh view, or a world view of church in the same way that they view a restaurant. And they go in, well, how's the atmosphere? How's the temperature? Was I greeted with enthusiasm? Did they give me the table I wanted to sit at? And did the menu please me? And did the service please me? And was the food great? Was the price cheap? You know, I mean, it goes along those lines, okay? But sometimes people have that same view of church. I actually had a guy tell me one time, a visitor, he'd come a couple Sundays, and man, I'm excited about him being there. And I said, man, we want you to be with us, to hang with us, man, we're excited. He said, look, I'm going to be real honest with you. I said, I like honest. Yeah. He said, I can get a better show for the same dollar. And I said, yeah, you really can. And I said, I recommend them folk right down there. Man, they got a good show going on. And you're going to really fit in like that. But I want to tell you something. It's a whole lot more than that. And if you have a flesh mind or a world mindset, you can't even recognize the spiritual. And, I'm just going to say this, because there's room for believers attained. There's room. One of the reasons, and if you've never noticed this, I want you to notice it as you walk out today, turn and look over your shoulder and look at the big picture that's up in the foyer as you walk in. If you've never seen it, I want you to see it. Because it's one of my favorite pictures of Jesus. It's the laughing Jesus. And the artist did that for me personally. I mean, he had done the painting years ago, and this was years ago when he did, but he did this in big form for me. The staff I had at that time actually paid for it, because they know that was a very important part of my journey, was to love the Lord, enjoy the Lord, and enjoy people. Have fun in the journey. And there's a lot of laughter around Jesus. And, you know, he's full of life. And so I'm just telling you, there's a big difference. Don't dare. Like, I had a couple one time that told me on the way out, "We're going to give you about a 7 today, preacher." And I said, "Well, great." I said, what is a 7? They said, "Well, you know, we kind of grade the sermons between 1 and 10. And I told the wife on the way out, "What do you think? Maybe a 6? She said, "No, a 7. He said, "I'll go a 7. And so, you know, I'm just telling you, a lot of times, the greatness of a sermon doesn't have anything to do with the preacher. It has to do with the need of the hour. And it has to do with a heart that's seeking the Lord. And I've been amazed in church life over 46 years of ministry. It doesn't mean I'm an expert at anything. I'm still learning. But I've been amazed how people can sit on the same row or next row apart from each other. And one says, "Wow, God spoke to me, man. Spirit of God was just ministering to me. I am so touched." And the other person will say, "God just wasn't here. Old Papa T's lost his anointing." Well, you know, I'm just here to tell you, one of the best things you can do to enjoy the Lord's day is to start your day out with the Lord before you get here. Now, I know that may sound a little simple to you, but I'm just telling you, the Lord wants you to enjoy him privately before you enjoy him publicly. And as a matter of fact, it's so amazing that if you will practice his presence privately, it's amazing how you're more tuned in to the public ministry of Jesus. Because there's a beautiful picture of public ministry. I mean, it's such a special anointing when the family comes together. And the Lord loves it when the family comes together. And he loves to love on us family-wise. He loves to love on us personally, but he also loves to love on us family-wise. And there's great joy for him to love on you. And there's a beautiful picture of the Spirit of God. As the Word of God is being preached, the Spirit of God is moving up and down every aisle and touching every heart and ministering to needs and speaking. And so it's very, very important that when you come to church, you don't come to church with a world mindset. Come to church with a spiritual mindset. And come to church listening. Come to church already connected with the Lord. Don't let Pastor James dance on the piano to get you in tune. He really can make that thing dance. But that's not, don't let him, why you want to wait for? I want to tell you, the praise and worship is an opportunity where I encourage everybody to be here early. Because it's your opportunity to minister to the Lord. Hey, don't cut short your ministry to the Lord. Beautiful description in Scripture how that the saints were gathered together in prayer and they were ministering to the Lord. I want to tell you, praise and worship, thanksgiving ministers to the Lord. And it's just so exciting, so precious to him. And then there's an opportunity as the Word of God's being ministered and as testimonies are being confessed, the works of God and the Word of God, that the Lord is ministering to you. I want to tell you, we need him. And he loves to speak to our life right where we are and where we're going. Well, Pastor Patrick spoke on that this morning. I like that. But don't, sometimes people that have a world mindset assume that you're operating in the world mindset. Because that's the channel they're on. People that are in the flesh a lot of times assume everybody else is in the flesh. Because that's the channel they're on. And I want to tell you, Spirit of the Lord flesh of man, completely different kingdoms. And that's why that part of our walking with the Lord is saying yes to the Spirit. And when you're saying yes to the Spirit, you're saying no to the flesh. I know there's teaching out there that says fight the flesh, fight the flesh, fight the flesh. You know, no, no, no to the flesh. But the best way to say no to the flesh is saying yes to the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so, why? Because we're receiving and depending on His power. Now, I'm going to read this verse, and it may not do a whole lot for you, but I want to tell you, it speaks to me, and I'm going to try to apply this to you. It's 2 Corinthians 10:7, and there's scriptures on either side that I love to deal with, but I'm going with this. Look at this obvious fact, is the way the Amplified brings it out, which is right there before your eyes. Recognition is big. Okay? Recognition is big. If anyone is confident that he is Christ, that you belong to Christ, Christ is in you, you're in Him, let him reflect and remind himself that even as He is Christ, so too are we. Now, I want to tell you, it's real simple, but it goes something like this. Sometimes we have the mindset, and see, the reason I'm talking about mindset, your approach to God is very important, how you approach Him. Sometimes we have this mindset in the Lord that, you know, the Lord loves me, I know He loves me, I know I belong to Christ, but the rest of this bunch, I don't have any clue about. It's obvious that they're not in Christ because they're not where I am. You know, see, that's kind of the way we think sometimes. And I want to tell you something. Whether it's obvious or not, because there are different people at different levels, at different paths, different sections in the journey. Let me just remind you. A lot of times in this mindset that we're describing here, We want the Lord to be so patient with us. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Thank you, Lord, for mercy, mercy. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you, you're helping me grow. Thank you, Lord, that I'm a learner. The rest of this bunch needs to get it in gear. And Lord, you need to crank it up. And have this mindset. Now look, the Lord, it's taking the Lord a decade, maybe two decades to get far. And maybe you're there, praise God that you're there, but let's not forget the Lord's not finished with you yet. And let's not forget that if it took the Lord to get you a couple decades to get to where you are, maybe He's working on them. But a lot of times, I'm just telling you the flesh mindset is this, and this is what He's addressing, is that we know where we are in Christ, and we expect everybody else to be where we are when we get there. Look. It's patience with people and persevering with the Lord. Okay? And that's a good combination. But I want to tell you, you know, sometimes people stumble in the journey. Sometimes people don't have the same speed. And a lot of times, I'm just going to be honest with you, the humans are the one that determines the speed a lot of times because of where the heart is. And so, but I want to announce this to you because this is where Paul was going. Is that, you know what, it's important for you to know that you're a champion in Christ. Because the champion is in you. Be confident that you're in Christ and Christ is in you. Be confident about that. But also at the same time, just because other people are not where you are or they're not ringing the same bell that you're ringing, you need to also be confident that if they belong to Christ, that the champion, the same champion that's in you is in them. And you know what's beautiful about the Lord? Especially when we walk with Him. I'm telling you, He will finish what He has started in your life. Here we go to apply this scripture. He also will finish what He has started in their life. And so that's why it's important for us to look at one another through the glasses of the new covenant and look toward one another through the glasses of grace and mercy. And you know what? Let's persevere in our walk with the Lord. Let's be patient with people. The Lord's working on them too. Let's be a helper and encouragement and exhortation to people. Many Christians don't know that the champion is in them. There's lack of recognition there, lack of knowledge. They just don't know. They may be in one of those churches that preach, well, you're saved by grace, but the rest of it, you're on your own. And you're just an old rotten, no good, sorry sinner. Till you get to heaven, then it'll all be all right. You know, I want to tell you, some people don't know. Look, it's great news that the very same champion that is our champion, Jesus, he dwells in you. And when the champion is dwelling in you, this is Bible language, it's covenant language. You're a champion too. You're a champion. Now, you may not know it. That's part of what teaching is. That's part of what the Holy Spirit's teaching, presenting Jesus to people. I'm also here to tell you this, is that he wants you to know that you're a champion in him and that he is in you. And sometimes Christians don't know it. Sometimes they've believed a lie. Sometimes the lie goes something like this. Well, this is just for the super saints. There's no such thing as a super saint. We're all earners. Now, some people are applying more than others, appropriating more than others. But I want to tell you, it's available for all of us. And so I'm trying to encourage you, give you good news on this. Some Christians have been deceived because they've said, well, it's not for me because I've done a biggie. I've messed up big time. I've done one of those super no's. And so as a result, the Lord can't use me. I'm here to announce something to you. This is a beautiful picture of the Lord. There are no second-class Christians. There are no big yes, big no Christians. He has said yes to all of us. And the same yes from the cross for your salvation is the same yes from the cross for your restoration, for your renewal, for your growth. And so I want to tell you, heaven's the limit is what I want to say. Heaven's the limit. And there's so much for you. There's so much for us to grow in. And I'm just going to put it real simple because that's about as deep as I can get. That if someone's had a stump in the road for a long time, maybe for years, for decades, or whatever, that stump in the road, I'm just going to announce this. It very well may be that they've believed a lie. But that's what the Word of God's for. That's what the Holy Spirit's for, is that he will help you show you the lie that you've believed. I've ministered to teenagers all these years. I will until I go to heaven because I'm committed to that generation. Some form, some way. And I'll never forget this one teenager, beautiful cheerleader. This was decades ago. Beautiful cheerleader. And she was really having negative thoughts about herself, was starting to cut herself. And there's a picture of that in Scripture. But I want to tell you, that's not life. That's dark. That's a manifestation of death. And it means that there's been a lot of traffic in the mind. And so she agreed to meet with me. And I had a good relationship with her. And this is why we encourage you to get to know each other. We encourage our leadership team. Take the saints out and spend time. Have them at your house. Break bread together. Because a lot of times your level of ministry is dependent on your level of relationship, the trust factor. And so I know that when I travel to speak, like I'm going to be in Arkansas this week, when I travel to minister to ministers, a lot of time, because I'm only there like one night or one day or whatever, the anointing of the Lord seems to be more powerful because there's a witness of his power to confirm what he's saying and what he's doing. But it seems like the people that we live daily life with, that it's very, very important to develop relationship. And that trust factor absolutely opens the door for deeper levels of ministry. And so I'm just sharing a little bit with you. That's why we need to get to know each other. That's why that even when we have ministers in, and the ministers we have in may not ring the same bell we ring. That's okay. That's on purpose. Because we need to hear the same Jesus, but we need to hear the different perspectives of Jesus from their journey. That's why that we have a leadership team and pastors here. You know, we're very different. And our union in our leadership team is Jesus. And they've got different gifts than I got. I'm glad. I know I'm in trouble when I go to a church to preach and everybody's wearing the same suit as the pastor. Or all the women have the same haircut at the hairdo, hairstyle that the pastor's wife has. When I walk in and see that, I say, oh, my. I may just be pizza for them today, and something, pizza's good every now and then. It's different. I may be a little spicy for them today. But you understand what I'm saying? We need each other. And that's one of the reasons why that the people that we have in, I trust completely. I don't just have people in because they're popular out there or because somebody else did. Okay? I usually have a relationship with them. Or I have a real clear witness from the Lord. And one of the reasons why Pastor Ben's going to be here to speak this fall. Nikki's going to be speaking this fall. Are you looking forward to that? I want to tell you, they have a different, and I'm not, different's not wrong. But they have a unique perspective because of their journey. And because of their walk with the Lord, that they're able to present Jesus in a picture that I can't. And we need that. Why? We have our leadership team share every week. You need to see Jesus from their viewpoint because there's power in that. Okay? Well, I hope you understand that. Okay. Let me break it down to the cheerleader. It goes like this. When she met with me, she said, I said, hun, what's wrong? I can see that you got a lot of traffic. She said, it's because I know that I'm ugly. I said, what? This is a beautiful little teenage cheerleader. And I said, who told you you were ugly? She said, a fifth grade teacher told me I was fat and I would never be as pretty as other girls. Now, I want to tell you, that was one sentence or two sentences from one human. You understand the power of words? Now, I want to tell you, I hate this, but sometimes we embrace that negative word, and we put our identification on it, and that becomes a curse. Now, I want to tell you, it's beautiful that, we can have the authority of Jesus to break curses that are put on people. And so, you know, it's real sweet to lead her to the Lord and her receive inner healing in her heart from what Jesus was saying to her, and to renounce and break that curse off of her. And I want to tell you, she got a lot of freedom that day. And it wasn't because of a great counselor. It was because of the power of Jesus. Jesus has given us authority. He loves to minister his power. I'm bringing this to say this to you. You cannot live the Christian life with a world viewpoint. You can't approach Jesus' life the same way that people approach business out there or situations out there education out there. It's different, okay? The Christian life is supposed to be a supernatural life. There needs to be his supernatural power working in us. And we know from the Word that his supernatural power can do supernatural things in us, but we've got to cooperate with it. We've got to be receivers. We've got to walk in it. Okay? And so I'm just telling you, you can't live the Christian life in the natural. You can't live the Christian life without the supernatural. Knowing Christ brings you into a supernatural fellowship with him. Knowing Christ is everlasting life. And walking with Jesus brings you into supernatural peace. You see, human peace is not going to get it. Human peace is a lack of conflict. Supernatural peace is Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. That's why we need to know about grace. We need to know about the gift of righteousness. We need to know how to receive, because it's a part of kingdom living. This is your divine birthright in kingdom living, is that you walk in supernatural peace. Wait a minute. And supernatural love. Wait a minute. Supernatural power. The Christian life has got to be marked by the supernatural. Now, I'm not talking about living out in spooky land. I'm not talking about interpreting everything as supernatural, but I'm saying that your walk with Jesus will result, a real walk with Jesus will result in supernatural peace, supernatural love, and supernatural power. That's the Word of God. He's not giving us a spirit of fear. That's where the world mind operates. It's amazing. Even our economic system is based on fear factor. I'm just telling you, that's not where we're to walk. I'm not throwing Bibles at unbelievers who walk in fear, who walk in the flesh. I'm not throwing Bibles at sinners that sin. That's what sinners do. Okay. Now look. There's a difference when you come to Christ, because the champion comes to dwell in you. Can we experience doubt, speculation, and unbelief? You better believe we can, but we don't have to. And so I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about your chooser. Now, John 10:10 says this, and I just got to say, the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. And so if you have a question on whether or not your walk is being real, take time to be still and recognize Jesus. Receive of Jesus, respond to Jesus. How is Jesus? I want to tell you, Jesus is not worried about the financial situation this coming week. He and the Holy Spirit and Father haven't huddled up and said, what are we going to do? We were not expecting this increase in gas. What are we going to do? No. You know what? Because he's the unlimited supply. I want to tell you, he's at peace. As Jesus is, so are we. The champion, the portrayer of peace himself, is inside of us. I want to tell you, we need to practice, learn how to walk, and how to receive from the shepherd who says that you shall not lack. Receive the peace, that overwhelming, supernatural, abundant peace in the midst of any kind of storm. He can give you peace. In the midst of any kind of rejection. Is there rejection in this journey? You better believe it. Is there betrayal in this journey? You better believe it. And the closer someone is to you, the greater the betrayal hurts. Bible talks about that. It was the one I worshiped with. It's what? Hey, I'm just announcing to you, this is real in this journey on earth. But in spite of human betrayal and rejection, mockery or whatever, I'm telling you, Jesus can give you his love that surpasses, that is greater than the wound of hurt. His love will heal the wound. His love will superimpose upon you his love, joy, and peace. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of sadness out there, but he gives joy. There's a lot of weakness out there. And you know what we do with our weakness? We submit it to him. And when we submit our weakness to him, his strength shows up. And so we don't deny weakness. We don't run from it. As a matter of fact, according to Paul, we testify of it. Because in our recognition, it's our weakness, we receive the power of his strength. You know what that is? That's supernatural. That's not anything a counselor can do for you. Not anything a psychiatric trick can do for you. That's the power of Jesus. And that's available for us. Let me just say, it's your birthright. And so John 10:10 says, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. And so if there's stealing in your life of joy, peace, and love, that's not God. Let's be clear. We're the Bible real clear. This is what Jesus said. It's the enemy. It's the thief. Who's that? That's the devil. He's the one that wants to come and steal your love, steal your peace. You disturbed in your heart? Well, that's not God. Okay, I had someone that I talked to a few months ago and said that God is just really pushing me and pressing me and he's making me miserable. I said, no, he's not. That's not God. That's the butcher. The butcher drives. The butcher presses. Okay? The shepherd leads. There's a big difference. And so Jesus showed us who's the thief. Who's killing? You say, well, you know, God's, because I haven't been faithful, God's destroying my marriage. No, God's not destroying your marriage. The enemy will send a foul spirit to kill your marriage. Okay? He's all about destruction, not God. Okay? God's the opposite. Okay? He doesn't come to steal from you. He comes to bless you. He doesn't come to kill. He comes to give life. He is resurrection life in your life in the right now. He doesn't come to destroy. He comes to exhort. He comes to build. He comes to move you into greater levels of abundant living. And that's the way the Lord is. Look what Jesus said. But I come. I don't do what the enemy's doing. So don't blame God for what the enemy's doing. Just because insurance companies do it don't mean you should. We know God better than that. The world does it. Okay. I come that they might have and enjoy life. Enjoy life. I want to tell you, his life is enjoyable to the depth of his presence and his personal power and his love and his peace. His life is enjoyable in the midst of the nasty now and now. Amen, Brother Tim. Okay. And to have it in abundance, not just enough to survive. To have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. I got this a few weeks ago. You may have already heard it, but I ain't got over it yet. And it goes like this. The enemy would not come to steal something you already have. Hey, I'm announcing something to you. You know why he's coming to steal? Because he knows. I mean, he shakes and quivers and trembles about the Word of God, but he knows more about the Word of God than some believers. Yeah. Yeah. But I want to tell you what he knows. He knows that if Jesus is in you, you got his peace and his joy and his love and his power. And so he... And so don't let the enemy steal it. You got it. Now we need to recognize we got it. Okay? The enemy will use anything he can to get you to throw in the towel and quit. Because he knows the only way he can defeat a believer is to get the believer to quit believing. Man, I like that. The devil wants you to doubt God and his word, his promises. Our privilege is to believe, to trust in, to depend on the Lord. That's humbling yourself. To stand firm and believe God. Now, don't think, because there are some people that think this, well, if you get close enough to God, you're not going to have any storms. No, no. Matter of fact, I'm just going to say this to you. The opposite is true. And I'm going to try to show this to you. Jesus warned us of troubling times on this earth journey. It's not heaven yet. John 16:33, he says, I've told you these things. That's why we try to get you to stay in what he says. Focus on what he's saying and what he's doing. Focus on who he is. And you see God in the Word. And so you focus on what he's saying. And you know what? He says, this is the benefit of that. In me, you'll have perfect peace and boldness, confidence. What's our confidence? In ourselves? No, no, no. It's in him. And so if you practice receiving what he's saying, part of the benefit, I'm telling you, benefit. I know all kind of medicines have side effects. The Word has benefits. And part of the benefit of the Word of God is that you're going to walk in His peace. You cannot separate God and the Word. Jesus is the Word. And He will minister holy boldness to you, confidence, courage, cheer, and peace. And it's real clear. Okay. Let me say it like this. If you abide in the Word will abide in you. I can say it again. If you'll abide in the Word, and that's more than just saying your favorite verse or the verse of the day. I'm talking about
Come on, let's soak in it. You know what Texas needs right now is a good soaking. Okay? Man. But what I'm telling you, what we need is a good soaking. And we soak in the Word. You abide in the Word will abide in you. And you know there will be benefits from that. You cannot separate His Word from the benefits. He says, I've sent you my Word to heal you. There's healing in His Word. So, Jesus warned us of troubling times. John 16:33. I've told you these things so that in me you can have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, in Texas, in your neighborhood, even in your house, you can have tribulation, trials, and distress and frustration. And all the Texans said. Yeah. But be of good cheer. Even though those storms come, rejoice. Be of good cheer. This is what Jesus says. Well, now, wait a minute. Jesus, you're not being very sensitive to my situation. Huh? No, I get to hear that sometimes. One particular little lady that was here a number of years ago, and there was a sin situation that, not her, but somebody else, and she was hurt, and wounded, and went to another state, and she began to practice the same thing that she was here. Are you with me? So, you know, when I talked to her, I was pointing out to her, you know, you can't, just because there's a ditch on one side don't mean you have to jump in it. And there's still a balanced walk for you. There's healing for you. You need to pursue the Lord. She said, wait a minute, Brother Tim. You don't have a right to talk to me that way. And I said, really? I said, why do you say that? She said, because I'm a victim. I said, okay, let me tell you. Yes, you're a victim, but you're going to stay a victim if you don't focus on the champion. If we don't get you to the victor, you're going to stay a victim. And you stay a victim, guess what? It's going to get worse and worse and worse. It don't get better by itself. And so I'm telling you, Jesus is the one that transforms and renews. So we got to get to Jesus, okay? Be of good cheer, take courage. And I want to say, how do you do that? Well, you use your chooser. God gave you a chooser, and you can change channels. I know people tell me on a regular basis, I can't help it, that was my emotions. That's what I was feeling. Well, you know, you can put the brakes on that. God gave you a break, and it's called your chooser. And, you know, if you allow those emotions to be the top fuel in your tank, then you know what? It's going to run away without you. And you'll end up doing things and saying things that you may regret the rest of your life. But I'm telling you, God gave you a chooser. It's the brakes. You can put the brakes on. Well, how do I do that? By changing channels and by putting it on the Jesus channel. And the Jesus channel has to do with some praise and thanksgiving and celebration. Be of good cheer, Jesus said. Take courage, be confident, be certain, be undaunted. Okay, peace and confidence of Jesus is greater than tribulation and trials. What I'm asking, what Jesus is asking, is for believers to believe that His power is greater than the power of any storm. And so when you give your allegiance to Him, you put your focus on Him, you begin to esteem Him, guess what happens? The benefits of Jesus, the Jesus factor, begins to invade your soul. Because that's the channel you choose. Amen. He says, for I've overcome the world. Now, I love the way the Amplified puts this because it makes it beautiful for us and it fits this sermon so well. He says, I've overcome the world. I've deprived it of power to harm you. So why are we going to be so disturbed when the Lord's taking away the power for the world to harm us? Now, if we believe a lie, okay, and we believe that it's going to harm us, guess what? The side effects of fear will affect us. But we don't have to go there. Okay, we got a chooser. We can choose life. And Jesus said He's conquered it for us. At one time with teenagers, I would take a wasp When I teach on the power of life over death, that's taking away, Jesus took away the sting of death, I'd take a wasp and catch it, take the little stinger out, put it in a jar, and I'd bring it to, and I'd take that wasp out. Some of you may remember this. I'd take that wasp out and hold it in my hand like this right here, and I'd carry it around to all the girls and guys too. And boy, you know, get all kind of reaction. You know why? Because they believed that the power of the sting of death was in that wasp. This is what Jesus says. He's taking the sting away. He's taking the very power of. You take the stinger out of the wasp, it's nothing but a purty bug. Okay? You can actually play with them. But I'm just sharing with you, there's no fear factor when you understand. Okay? I never had one live past one of those meetings because it would get passed around, and sure enough, it'd be dead before I got it back. But you understand, because they understood that the fear of death or the fear of sin was taken away. And we can believe in the power of life, that Jesus has taken the harm away. Oh, okay, you know what this means? This means you. You walk with Jesus, walking in peace. You can't lose for winning. But understand, attacks still come. Whether you walk with God or not, troubles come. And so you're a whole lot better off to walk with God when troubles come, because you're already walking in His peace, and His peace and His love and His power overwhelms the storm of darkness. Do you want to be a victim or a victor? I want to tell you, if you become, it's easy to be a victim. All you got to do is not do, not believe. Just go along with emotions. Go along with the flow of the storm of what's happening. And you know what? A victim actually blocks others from receiving, because people stumble over you. You're not helping, you're hindering. There's a difference between quenching the Spirit and liberating the Spirit. So why not surrender to Christ-centered living? One of the biggest enemies that we face in Christian life is self. You know, all sin points to self. Self-centeredness, self-promoting. I'm telling you, that causes a big block in your journey. And that's why self has got to be surrendered to the Lord continually. Okay? I don't like it that I still got this stuff on me right here, this flesh. I look around, all of us got it, and you probably look a little better physically with it on you. But I'm just saying to you, it's the flesh that would hit. Why is it still there? It's an opportunity for us to choose Him over ourselves. And that's life. That's life. We got to experience. We can experience victories in this trouble-filled earth. Any sin Jesus paid for. Now, boy, every time I say, well, I've heard it all and seen it all, something else comes down the pipe. So I try not to say that anymore. But we've seen a lot. But I want to tell you, no matter what it is, how horrible it is, how dark it is, how hellish it is, Jesus paid for that sin. He can and will help. But I want to tell you, it's just such a picture of Jesus, because He ministered TLC to the worst of sinners. The very worst of sinners. That religion of the day said no way. He said yes way. And He got a lot of criticism for that. But I want to tell you, He ministered. His love lowers the bar of that. Do you understand that? Where He says, whoever, come. And so it's very, very powerful about that. But I want to tell you, one of the things that Jesus taught on was that it's only those who know they are sick that receive the physician. It's only those who know they have a need and are honest and open about knowing they have a need. You say, well, Brother Tim, who wouldn't? I want to tell you who wouldn't. It's self-righteousness. Because self-righteousness, that's why I say that self-righteousness is the worst sin of all of them. Because self-righteousness says this, I got this. I can handle this. You know, God's really blessed to have me. And, you know, I'm a whole lot better off and a lot further down the road than most people. And, you know, it's the worst of sins, because it's pride. And it says, I don't need help. Matter of fact, it comes out like this in counseling. I'm right. It's everybody else that needs help. Everybody else is wrong. I want to tell you, Jesus can't help people that don't know they need help. Jesus can't help people who won't let him help them. It made a big difference in my life, and I sleep a whole lot better when many years ago the Lord made it real clear to me, I can't help people who won't let him help them. Well, that was good for me. But you say, well, Brother Tim, who are you talking about? Well, it was the Pharisees. The Pharisees knew they were more spiritual than everybody else. I'm just going to announce this. They had more scripture memorized than you do. They prayed more than you do. They fasted more than you do. They celebrated all kind of feasts and everything more than you do. But I want to tell you, they didn't know God. Matter of fact, they felt like they were God's best gift to man. And I want to tell you, self-righteousness, they can't receive. I'm fixing to show that to you in just a minute. How am I doing? Oh, I got plenty of time. Okay. I have to remind, and I'm saying this to you too, I have to remind pastors and leaders, you know, leadership experiences more tribulations because some of what we go through is for the body's sake. It's for the flock's sake. It's for people we love's sake. Okay? Afflictions, distress, pressure, burdens come to us all. No matter how spiritually mature you are, this is a part of the earth journey. But it doesn't mean that you've missed God. Now, one of the things I have to guard against is that when a leader, and especially we minister to pastors in other churches, they go through a lot of tribulation and trials and stuff, there will be other pastors or other saints that will say, something wrong with them. They missed God somewhere. Secret sin. You know, they want to paint some kind of a picture, but I'm here to tell you a lot of what leadership goes through is not just, Paul said this, not just for them, but it's for the body's sake. Okay? I want to, hey, pastors call me. Most of the time it's not, hey, I want to give you some praise the Lord's, pastor. Okay. I'm good with that. No, most of the time when they call, you know, it's that, man, I got something that's really tearing me up. I got this situation in the church and these families and this and this and this. And so, you see, there's a lot that they carry. That's why the Bible encourages you to pray in every way for your leadership. Pray for them. You know, the Boy Scouts aren't. God's asked you to do it. And so it ought to be a common part of your prayer life is to pray for your leadership. That's what the Bible says. But just because somebody's going through a storm doesn't mean that they've missed God. It may be, because I'll be honest with you, Jesus never winked at sin, and he doesn't now. And I want to tell you, we don't like sin. God don't like sin because it's destructive. When you practice sin, it paints a target on you. And it's like you're saying to the dark world, shoot right here. Come and get me. You see, it's like giving the enemy a license. Now, I want to tell you, Jesus broke that license. He broke that curse, and he broke that license. And the enemy doesn't have a right unless you cooperate with him. Okay. Well, it may mean you may be going through troubles because of your own choices, but I want to tell you, God's love's bigger than that. You know, he's our rescue, and he can rescue us from our own foolishness. Is there a testimony in the house? Hands went up all over the building. No, they didn't, but it's true. Okay. Hey, you're looking at, hey, looking at me. Somebody asked me the other day, if you go back, you do anything different? Well, I sure would. Okay. But it may mean you may be getting attacked. You may be in a storm because of what you're doing right. Because the enemy will resist any rightness. God's rightness in you, he'll resist. Any right choices you make, hey, we ought to understand, have enough maturity to understand that those right choices, those godly choices will be checked. They'll be resisted. They'll be tested. Not by God, by the enemy. Because he wants to steal, kill, and destroy what God's doing and what God wants to do. That's why his word is life to us. I'm just going to say it like this because I'm getting a little short on time. You know, it's not... Let's talk about a believer walking with Jesus. Simple walking with Jesus. You know, it's not the outside pressure that does them in. It's an inside vacuum. And so the inside needs to be continually filled. You are. But I'm telling you, let's walk in his peace. Let's walk in his love. Let's walk in his power. Let's practice his presence. Let's practice his joy. You know, John Wesley would tell his people, he'd say this, every morning, you need to make yourself fulfilled in the Lord every morning. And he put it like this, you need to make your soul happy in the Lord every morning. Isn't that interesting? But I'm telling you, it's the vacuum. When we have a vacuum within, the pressure from without can cave us in. And we see examples in Scripture. And I wasn't expecting a part five on this. I repent if I came out too confident about it. We see examples in Scripture when God's people are in the center of His will and they're attacked on every side. Like everything is going in the opposite direction. Well, our part is to remember him and praise him anyway. How many of you give me 2 more minutes? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. Oh, boy, this will be good. Praise him anyway. When you feel like it the least, it's when you need to practice it the most. You need to put the brakes on the emotions. Because I want to tell you, it's hard to hear God and your emotions be all wound up. You've got to come before the Lord and practice being still. Lay those emotions down at his feet. Put on the Jesus channel until there's a witness. See, you don't just take a stab at it and run and say, it didn't work for me. You practice his presence, surrendering that junk to the Lord, receiving his love life until there's a witness in your spirit that it's on. Man, that's very important. But praise him anyway. Celebrate him with thanksgiving. Jesus would walk in the middle of your storm and say, be of good cheer. And he's not being insensitive. Now, to worldly mind, that's insensitive. Jesus repeated this over and over. And it's breakthrough truth to give us a heartbeat perspective of him. Glasses to see his heart when you praise. Practice praise. Esteem him, not the mountain. Okay, get off the mountain and get on him. And grace comes. It's supernatural. And that presence, the power, the passion of the Lord, because that's the way grace shows up. I mean, we talk about grace, it's Jesus. And the love and the peace and the joy that comes to us. But when it is in your life, this is how what it looks like in your life. We call it the 3 P's. It's his presence, his power, and his passion. That's grace, man. I'm telling you, that's evidence. Just byproduct benefits of grace. And you know what? The mountain becomes a molehill. It's not something you do. It's something he does. And it's from your perspective. And he makes the mountain in your life a molehill. And a molehill, remember, is for what little kids like to go around and stomp on. And you'll stomp on it. You see, it's truth over fact. I'm not saying the mountain's not real. It's real at a certain level. But I'm talking about a greater reality. A superior reality is in the invisible. And that's where we focus on. The world can't do that. You can. And that's how we experience that champion of the cross in our life. He has overcome the world. And you know what? I'm going to have to stop. Oh. Oh. I love Jesus and I love you. I love you enough to stop, I guess. All right. Man, the Lord is good. Oh, I want to tell you, next week, I'm going to talk to you about the paralyzed man that was let down through the roof. I'm just kind of giving you a little. They say in TV land it's a teaser, kind of a commercial. But I'm just going to tell you, you know, everybody talks about that, you know, is the faith of his friends, and it was. And I want to tell you, you're not alone. So don't be isolated. Hey, secrets, dark stuff grows in the dark. Stuff that you don't want grows in the dark. I want to tell you, it needs to be brought to light. Openness and honesty. Openness before man reveals sincerity or genuineness before God. And I want to tell you, I'm not saying get on the book of faith. I'm not saying that. But we got brothers and sisters. You got leadership. You got people here that care. People that are walking in the presence, in the power, and the passion of Jesus. And can minister their faith where you don't have any. But I'm going to show you why that the man on the little stretcher didn't have faith. But he got faith. Sometimes that's not preached. He got faith before it was over with. I can't help it. I got to say it. Jesus dealt with his sin. And when he believed that his sin was gone, he was able to receive faith and receive healing. Okay, it's not deep. It's not complicated. It's real. And then I'm going to talk to you, and I can't go there. But I'm going to talk to you about Paul on a ship that went down. And I want to tell you what a lot of faith people would say. Well, if he had been believing God, the ship wouldn't have gone down. No, I'm telling you. He tried to head that off, by the way. But I'm telling you, sometimes your ship goes down. But I want to tell you, Paul started in fear. I want to show you that because that's not preached either. He started in fear. He went to faith and encouraged others to be of good cheer, faith around him. And the Lord gave him, boy, I'm preaching my sermon. The Lord gave him what he prayed for. He prayed for the lives to be saved. And no life was lost. Okay? I'm telling you, I'm sharing this with you because there are ships called marriages that sometime go down. I want to tell you, God loves marriage. God hates divorce. But I want to tell you something. There's something more important than the ship, and it's the lives involved. I'm going to tell you, I can't hardly say it without tuning up. This is for you or for someone you know. I love you, and let me pray for you, okay? Now, you're here this morning. You need Jesus. I want to tell you, we've got leadership that's going to go right back here and pray over you, anoint you with oil, pray over you the prayer of faith. And you may be saying, I'm just not there. That's okay. His love is bigger than where you are or where you're not. His love's bigger. Would you come to him? Would you just respond? And I'm going to do something that we don't normally do, but if you're here and you need prayer, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and get up and just quietly walk back here to this room. We're going to have some leadership meet you and pray over you, okay? While I'm praying, you go for prayer, okay? And we're going to let Jesus touch you because he wants to touch you more than you want to be touched. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that your word is true. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us a life way, a life-giving way. Lord Jesus, that your life is energizing, revolutionizes, transforms, gives us a better life. And you have a life-giving way for us to walk in. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you don't save us and leave us till we get to heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have abundant living now to the max. We want to know you. We want to get to know you. We want to walk in you. We want to be a learner. We want to be a true son and daughter that not only serves but walks in the benefits of our birthright. Lord Jesus, I bless these precious people. Thank you for those that are receiving today. Thank you for those online that are receiving. Lord, we bless them in the name of Jesus. And we just speak great grace to invade Your grace prevails, and we give you praise that you're our champion and that you dwell in us and that we operate by our birthright because of the rightness you gave us from the cross. And we give you praise. And all the people said, amen. Hallelujah and amen. We give the Lord praise. Woo!